Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day when some of our upcoming great events are becoming more clear. President Trump has announced that he will skip the Republican presidential primary debate that is scheduled for next week, next Wednesday night. Instead, he is planning to upstage that debate. How? We will talk to you about that. He has also canceled that big press conference he had promised for Monday, where he was going to deliver irrefutable proof about the rigged and dishonest and fraudulent nature of the Georgia election, something very directly related to his most recent set of indictments. That will not be happening. And instead, President Trump suggests something else. And we will talk about what that is. We'll also be talking about President Trump being criticized for using a term, a very explosive term, for people who try to rig the election. Okay, you can think about it for a moment. We will deliver the punchline, or rather allow Al Sharpton to deliver that punchline. On the Michael Medved Show, we'll also be speaking about this tendency for corporations, big companies, companies like Target and, of course, Anheuser-Busch, to pursue ESG. And what is ESG? It is environmental, social, and governmental goals. And in other words, should there be a political aspect to the products that you buy? Most people are saying no. That was the experience that happened with Bud Light, which used to be the best-selling beer in the country. A former executive for Bud Light, who is a former important executive with Anheuser-Busch, is going to be joining us on the Michael Medved Show about what is wrong with that kind of program. And we'll also be speaking to the Wall Street Journal's columnist, Daniel Henninger, about the cost to America of these various indictments. And the indictments for President Trump, Henninger says, are damaging to the country and to our political system. So what do we do about it? How do we get out of it? How do we reduce or minimize the damage? We'll be speaking about that with Daniel Henninger. And finally, as if we needed it, there is now a new and very serious attempt. It's not crazy, but I don't think it's appropriate. I think it's destructive. There is a new attempt by a series of law professors from some of the most distinguished law schools in the country to disqualify Trump from running for president. No, seriously, based upon Section 3 of Amendment 14 of the Constitution of the United States. The claim is that if they can get one state that has a Democratic Secretary of State and a Democratic legislature, and they can move in that state to keep Trump's name off the ballot, then that would have to go right away with what they call a writ of certiorari, with a sort of a speedy concern. That would go to the Supreme Court. Would it stand up if one of these states, because of the 14th Amendment, disqualifies Trump and doesn't allow him to appear on the ballot? I think the entire idea, again, just continually poisons and embitters the world around us. Maybe some of the political differences can begin to gain center stage, rather than the complete obsession with discussing the crimes or alleged crimes of Donald Trump. Speaking of alleged crimes of Donald Trump, you know how much time the prosecutors are looking for Enrique Torrio, who is a very strong supporter of President Trump. He is a one of the leaders of the Proud Boys, who played a major role in January 6th. They're looking to put him away for 33 years. 33 years. Now, there are people, including Stuart Rhodes from the Oath Keepers. He's gotten 18 years. This is getting serious. Okay, first of all, news about the primary debate. The primary debate will have lots and lots of people on the stage, but one of the differences with the debate from last time is that there'll be about half as many candidates. Remember, there were fully 17 candidates at one point running against President Trump. It's one of those parlor games where he had so much opposition. This time, the opposition is a little bit less. The Wall Street Journal is trying to make a case that it should be even less, with more people dropping out, so that there can be a more clear-cut choice between Trump and somebody else. But who would that somebody else be? Donald Trump will skip the Republican presidential debate next week. He has said that he is following Reagan's example, and the idea that he's following Reagan's example is not entirely accurate, because Reagan actually participated in numerous debates in 1980 when he was running for president. He just skipped one regarding Iowa. And is this an implication that Trump himself will participate in debates later on? The famous debate that actually helped to win the presidency for Reagan was in New Hampshire, where there was a rowdy crowd and a disagreement about procedure. And at one point, President Reagan said, "I'm paying for this microphone," and it showed a real sense of leadership and decisiveness that helped him beat his competitor at the time. But he also appeared with that competitor in a one-on-one debate, the competitor being George Herbert Walker Bush. And it's fascinating. I spent some time early this morning just watching these two go at it. And again, it indicates that we really should try to aspire to that kind of argument, which wasn't petty. It was about policy. It was specifically about tax policy. America was going through an economic crisis at the time in 1980 during that campaign. And it was a crisis that President Reagan's leadership ultimately got us out of. Donald Trump's Truth Social, his truth of the day, he says, rather than releasing the report on the rigged and stolen Georgia 2020 presidential election on Monday, my lawyers would prefer putting this, I believe, irrefutable, and overwhelming evidence of election fraud and irregularities in formal legal filings as we fight to dismiss this disgraceful indictment by a publicity and campaign finance-seeking DA who sadly presides over a record-breaking murder and violent crime area. And he has that in caps with capital area, like that's his phrase. It's a murder and violent crime area, Atlanta. Therefore, the news conference is no longer necessary. So, basically, no big news conference. Yes, a debate, but a debate without Donald Trump. And there was actually a release, which is fairly stunning, about the insider strategy messages to Governor DeSantis. We'll get to that and to more coming up on the MedVet Show.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news. On the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
You know how the line to the song goes. It's summertime and the living is easy. Well, it's not so easy. It's active. I mean, people try to get moving when it's summertime, which is why aches and pains really need to be dealt with. And the best way to deal with them that I've ever found is through Relief Factor. Take it every day. It really does help you feel better and move more easily. And it's entirely natural. It's extraordinarily good for you. Go to michaelmedved.com. You can get Relief Factor with what they call a quick start, remarkably inexpensively. It's really a very special deal. And then you will probably become as regular a user as I am and millions of others. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start to make the most of your summer.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice, my mother was down with some sort of fever, people at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with ExtendoVite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. ExtendoVite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And ExtendoVite is all natural. ExtendoVite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take ExtendoVite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
And on the Michael Medved Show, the report over at Newsweek is Donald Trump has stated he will not take part in the upcoming GOP presidential primary debate, while citing how former President Ronald Reagan also skipped a debate during his 1980 campaign. Reagan skipped the debate before the Iowa caucuses and then lost the Iowa caucuses to George Herbert Walker Bush, who was something of a surprise winner. Reagan, remember, had run for president, come very close to beating President Gerald Ford just 4 years before. In any event, Reagan didn't necessarily think it was a good plan to skip debates. He continued with them and helped use those debates to help him win re-election in 1984, memorably. In any event, in a post on Truth Social, Trump suggested that there's no need for him to appear at the televised debate in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, next Wednesday night because he is currently leading the polls by such an overwhelming margin. And while Reagan lost the 1980 Iowa caucus to George H.W. Bush, he participated in other debates and won the presidential nomination and the general election in a landslide with George W. H.W. Bush as his running mate. Many people are asking whether or not I will be doing the debates, said President Trump on Truth Social. All Americans have been clamoring for a president of extremely high intelligence, and he has high intelligence, capital H, capital I. What he means is that people think that the other people on the stage, including all those Ivy League graduates like Ron DeSantis and Vivek Ramaswamy, people of high intelligence, I guess. Everyone is aware, President Trump says, my poll numbers over a wonderful, in quotes, field of Republican candidates are extraordinary. In fact, I am leading the runner-up, whoever that may be now, by more than 50 points. Reagan didn't do it, neither did others. People know my record, one of the best ever, all capitals. So why would I debate? I'm your man, make America great again. Concerning the pledge that everybody has signed in order to get into the debate saying that they would support the Republican nominee, whoever it turns out to be, President Trump said, why would I sign it? I can name three or four people that I wouldn't support for president, so right there's a problem. Now, the guessing game, of course, would be, who are these people he couldn't support? I don't think President Trump would have ever supported Al Sharpton in his race for presidency, but Al Sharpton turns it back at President Trump. Here is what he is upset about. It's not that President Trump said that the election was rigged. He's been saying that for a long time. And it was just he used a term for the people who did the rigging, which Al Sharpton found profoundly offensive. This is clip 10. Listen.
Donald Trump himself, their leader, using the term riggers, which clearly rhymes with the N-word. I mean, this is not
exactly
10 years ago or 30 years ago when we marched against him on the Central Park Fire. I'm talking about within the last 24 hours, used the term riggers. Is this the kind of party the Republicans want to show the country that they are?
Okay, did anybody assume that he deliberately used the term, I won't even say it, that term to refer to people who are rigging the election, was that meant to be a deliberate provocation? Probably not. Is my guess. I'll tell you what is a provocation right now, and it's one of the most bizarre stories, is front page New York Times. Ron DeSantis needs to take a sledgehammer to Vivek Ramaswamy, the political newcomer who's rising in the polls. He should defend Donald Trump when Chris Christie inevitably attacks the former president. And he needs to attack Joe Biden and the media no less than 3 to 5 times. a firm associated with the super PAC that has effectively taken over Mr. DeSantis' presidential campaign, posted online hundreds of pages of blunt advice, research memos, and internal polling in early nominating states to guide the Florida governor ahead of the high-stakes Republican presidential debate next Wednesday in Milwaukee. There are four basic must-dos, one of the memos urges Mr. DeSantis, who the document refers to as GRD. Why GRD? Governor Ron DeSantis. You get it? Okay. Here are the four must-dos. Number one, attack Joe Biden and the media 3 to 5 times. Number two, state GRD's positive vision 2 to 3 times. In other words, more important to attack the media than to state your positive vision. Number three, hammer Vivek Ramaswamy in a response. Number four, defend Donald Trump in absentia in response to a Chris Christie attack. Okay, the idea that this was posted in advance is very strange and truly bizarre. Does it help DeSantis to have this kind of stuff in the public? Addressed simply to interested parties, the memo describes Roger Ailes' orchestra pit theory, quoting the now-deceased Fox News executive and political strategist's well-known maxim that a candidate who lays out a comprehensive plan on foreign policy will draw less coverage than one who accidentally falls off the debate stage. And to that end, the memo lists potential orchestra pit moments, beginning with the one drama making opportunity, complete with a recommendation for a Trump-style insult. Take a sledgehammer to Vivek Ramaswamy. Fake Vivek, or Vivek the fake. They also urged that he attack Vivek Ramaswamy based on his Hindu faith and background, saying that his endorsement of the idea of a 59% death tax, this inheritance tax, goes along with his background in the Hindu caste system. Wow. Coming up, a former executive at Anheuser-Busch who talks about the terrible blunder of corporate America following the ESG agenda. Yes, that's right, for the environment, social justice, and governance. We'll be right back with Anson Friedrichs.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Update. At Camp David right now, President Biden hosting the leaders of Japan and South Korea for talks about China.
Our countries are stronger and the world will be safer as we stand together.
Hurricane Hillary churning and is expected to hit Southern California. Storm prep underway in the San Diego area. To Maui now, where there's been a resignation related to the massive wildfire.
The top Maui emergency management official who didn't sound warning sirens as wildfire fires swept across the island, has resigned. He stepped down the day after defending his decision not to activate the sirens. He said he feared coastal residents would have fled inland toward the flames. I'm Corey Myers.
More than 1,000 residents and tourists still unaccounted for this Friday. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
And one of the great hungers in the United States right now is the desire to unite the country. And there's one proposition that I think can unite Americans across all kinds of ideological and racial and religious and age lines, no matter where you live. And that was an idea put forward by my guest, Anson Frericks, who is a former executive at Anheuser-Busch. He right now has Strive Foundation, which works on behalf of shareholders and businesses. He's the author of a column that's extremely amusing and very insightful. The column is called Have a Cold Bud Light, Not a Woke One. What was the big mistake that your former colleagues at Anheuser-Busch made by deciding to go for the ESG, the environmental, social, and governance agenda?
Yeah, first off, thanks for having me on the show today, Michael. Very happy to be here. And I think the biggest problem that Anheuser-Busch made is that they veered from their stated mission of the corporation. You take a look at Anheuser-Busch, they're supposed to be creating a future with more cheers. And then they have lots of brands that are supposed to do that. You have Michelob Ultra, which is for runners and athletes. You have brands like Busch or for hunters and outdoorsmen. And you have a brand like Bud Light, whose stated mission was to be easy to drink and easy to enjoy. Well, they did that historically by doing things that all people enjoyed. That was promoting football, promoting sports, backyard barbecues, music, etc. They never really got involved in controversial political issues, and that's why it became the largest brand in America, and it was equally enjoyed by Democrats and Republicans. Yet, all of a sudden, when they did a sponsorship with Dylan Mulvaney, they put themselves directly into the culture wars. You know, the transgender rights issue in the United States right now is just as much of a hot topic as abortion is or gun rights are. And therefore, this is a space that Bud Light has never played in. This is something that its customers never expected it to play in. And all of a sudden, Bud Light did not become easy to drink and easy to enjoy, because instead of sitting around and debating topics over a beer, all of a sudden the beer became about the debate. And that's the problem that Anheuser-Busch got itself into. And they've been able to alienate equally their consumers on the left, who wanted them to stand by Dylan Mulvaney, and then their consumers on the right that wanted an apology for not only the campaign, but also because their VP of marketing referred to their historical consumers as kind of fratty and out of touch. So that's the problem that Anheuser-Busch got themselves into, and specifically because it did not follow that mission statement of being easy to drink and easy to enjoy.
Okay, first of all, I assume that in a company like Anheuser-Busch or in a company like Target, for instance, that there's a great deal of money put in public opinion surveys and in testing the market and what's going to appeal to the market. Do you think that part of what goes on here is a tremendously exaggerated view of the size and the influence and the wealth and the impact of the LGBTQ plus community?
I think that's part of it, but I think the sad part about Anheuser-Busch is 4 months after this controversy started, they had their Q2 earnings call at the beginning of August. And on that Q2 earnings call, they went through how profits had dropped by 30% in the quarter in the United States year over year, and that they'd shed a lot of consumers. But they also said over the last 4 months since this controversy started, they did a survey of 170,000 Bud Light consumers to figure out what Bud Light consumers want. And, you know, lo and behold, the things they got back from that survey said Bud Light consumers, they just want to talk about the beer. They want to talk about, they want Bud Light to talk about things all people enjoy, sports, music, et cetera, and they don't want debate with their beer. I think the bigger question for me is, why weren't they doing that survey beforehand? Why weren't they doing that survey earlier this year or last year? And I think one of the problems is that these large corporations, they rely too much on marketing agencies and marketing firms. And most of those firms are headquartered in places like New York City. And they just hire folks that are from the East Coast, and they live in a New York City their whole life, and they view the whole lens of the marketing environment really through Manhattan. And even Anheuser-Busch, they moved their corporate headquarters from St. Louis, Missouri, to New York City about 7-8 years ago, partly because they said they wanted to be closer to some of the big marketing agencies. And I think what happens is there's a lot of groupthink that has these marketing agencies, and everybody looks at the world through, you know, the Fifth Avenue kind of lens, and you forget a lot of your historical consumers that built the business that are located in places like Missouri and Ohio, where I'm located, or, you know, Florida, and you really lose that lens because you're almost hijacked by these marketing agencies that are just all in New York City, and that's where the group thing comes from. And I don't know if it's as much as like the LGBTQ, but it's just more of the marketing agencies that are just headquartered in New York and just view the world through kind of the lens of New York City.
Okay, you're standing at Strive Foundation for what you call shareholder primacy. In other words, the business of America, as President Coolidge said, is business. And that basically big corporations are there to give people a service that they pay for, to create brands that they like. They're not there to preach. Are there exceptions? Or why is it better for the country and for companies to take a look at what the market actually wants and connect with that rather than following some, quote, higher agenda?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I co-founded a company called Strive Asset Management with a friend of mine from high school, a guy named Vivek Ramaswamy that you might be familiar with. And we co-founded Strive last year because we saw really this problem emerging between stakeholder capitalism and shareholder capitalism. And stakeholder capitalism has been around in Europe for the last 40 years or so. It's sort of the Klaus Schwab World Economic form view of the world that says that companies do better when they work more closely with all stakeholders, which can be the government, it can be political activists, it can be non-governmental organizations, but that companies perform better and society performs better when stakeholder capitalism is the model. Well, that's very different than the shareholder capitalism model, which has reigned supreme in the United States since Milton Friedman in the 1970s said the purpose of a corporation is to serve its shareholders. That's, you have to put shareholder primacy first, and what's in the best interest for the company is, or for shareholders, is in the best interest for the company. And if you take a look at the stakeholder capitalism movement, it really started being imported into the United States about 4 or 5 years ago by large banks like J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, and asset managers like BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard that were being told by some of the people that give them a lot of money, the state of California, the state of New York, Sovereign Wealth Fund of Norway in Europe, that they needed to import this stakeholder capitalism movement into the United States to elevate the purpose of the business. And they said this would do two things. It would create better shareholder returns, and it would create better societal outcomes. But the problem with that is that we're not seeing that materialize. And if you just take a look at the data of this stakeholder capitalism model over the last 70 years, both of those tenets of leading to better investment returns and better societal outcomes falls flat. On the first one, you just take a look at broad-based European equities over the last 40 years and juxtapose those with broad-based U.S. equity returns over the last 40 years. And the U.S. has outperformed European broad-based stock markets by about 300 basis points per year, thousands of basis points since the 1970s, where the Milton Friedman model started competing against the Klaus Schwab stakeholder model. So that first tenet of stakeholder capitalism, really falls apart of creating better investment returns. And then you look at saying, well, did Europe create better societal outcomes over that time period? Maybe they gave up investment returns, but were there better societal outcomes? And if you look at any broad-based, prosperity metric, GDP
we will get to that in a moment. I know you can hang on for a few minutes more to talk about the new corporate slogan, Go Woke, Go Broke. Why does it work that way, and why do people continue to be attracted to woke ideas in profit-making businesses? We will be right back with Anson Frericks coming up on The MedVet Show.
Entertain your brain.
It's awesome.
Every day on The Michael Medved Show.
Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. A lot of times on the Michael Medved Show, we're talking about the present, things that just happened. Sometimes we try to look toward the future, but we also try very seriously to look toward the past. And that's why it's a very good idea right now in this present moment to sign up as a Medhead Plus member. It gives you access to close to 100 history programs on the Medved Show, ranging from the American Revolution to the origins of the State of Israel to the history of political parties in the United States and the Constitution and world struggles like World War I and World War II, and yes, the Vietnam War. All available to you at a minuscule cost of 22 cents a day, plus access to our show 24/7. Go to MedvedHistoryStore.com. You spend a little, you learn a lot.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
And on the Michael Medved show, Anson Friedrichs is a co-founder of Strive Asset Management, and he is a former Anheuser-Busch executive. He's also the author of a column in the Wall Street Journal that we've linked to at our website at michaelmedved.com. Have a cold Bud Light, not a woke one. Generally, I think there are a lot of Americans, I know that this applies to the world of religion, it applies to the world of entertainment. Part of what you're responding to, it seems to me, is this idea that everything is politicized today. Politics is invading every aspect of our lives. Sports, where you have to, they want to change the name of the Washington Commanders back to the Redskins. Basically, the political arguments that we have are interfering with the basic mode of and purpose of American business, which is to show profit by giving people something they want. Isn't that the core point?
That's it, Michael. I mean, the core point is that the purpose of a corporation should be to produce returns for its shareholders. And we believe at Strive that's good for American free market capitalism, so companies can just focus on their producing great products and services for their customer base, innovating for them. That allows more those customers to evangelize the brand to more people. Companies can therefore, they can hire more employees, make more products and innovate, pay more taxes, and that's a good thing for corporations. It's bad when separately, on the other side, you're having these, you know, large asset managers, the BlackRock, State Street, Vanguards of the world, where that stakeholder capitalism model I was talking about, forcing on companies these environmental, social, and governmental agendas, asking companies like ExxonMobil to produce less oil and gas, to meet, like, Scope 3 emissions reductions mandates that, you know, should not, don't really legally bind anyone in the U.S., or asking companies like they did with Coca-Cola and Delta in Georgia in 2021, to advocate for overturning the voter integrity laws that the citizens of Georgia voted for. We think it's bad when companies get involved in these political issues. I mean, take a look at Bud Light, as you mentioned. Instead of focusing on its customers, selling them more cold Bud Lights, all of a sudden they get themselves involved in a political controversy where they've seen 30 to 40% of their customer base leave. billions of dollars of shareholder value have been erased, and now they're laying off hundreds of people. And if you take a look at their broader supplier base, thousands of people now that have been laid off due to Anheuser-Busch getting involved in a political issue. And so we just think it's bad for capitalism when companies, they divert themselves from the mission. And frankly, it's really bad for our democracy as well. And instead of having, you know, us as individual co-equal citizens voting on the laws that we're going to live by, now it seems like companies are trying to, you know, force an agenda onto America. And that's not going to be good long term.
Okay, you were there for 11 years at Anheuser-Busch. You know some of the principals who are involved in making this decision. You write that Bud Light is a nonpartisan alcoholic beverage enjoyed by both Democrats and Republicans. It should stay in that lane. What were they thinking when they decided to use this trans woman as a spokesperson, as a symbol for selling nonpartisan, apolitical, alcoholic beverage?
Well, Michael, they weren't thinking is the quick answer. I think the longer answer to that is that Bud Light was in a tough situation because it had been declining as a brand for a number of years. And it was declining for multiple reasons, some being that consumers were trading out to other categories of alcohol like wine and spirits. People within beer were trading up to more premium offerings, things like Corona and Modelo and craft brands. But also Bud Light kind of struggled to have an identity as well. And one of the things that their new VP of marketing kind of said in the day or two before this Dylan Mulvaney ad dropped was that they needed to move beyond marketing campaigns that were kind of fratty and out of touch. Well, the one thing that you don't want to do when you're trying to reignite growth in a brand is alienate your existing customer. A lot of Bud Light customers might have been fratty or perceived to be out of touch, but you don't alienate those consumers when you're trying to do new marketing and trying to bring more people in or new people in. So I think that's the real mistake that the company made, and they really weren't thinking by trying to go into different avenues with the brand, but alienating their very loyal existing customer base that was already there.
Okay, you're not saying by any means that big companies shouldn't be engaged in important social issues and charitable concerns in, for instance, benefiting American education or health care or anything like that. What you're talking about is a more divisive positions that take very controversial stands on explosive issues. That's the basic point, yeah?
That's the basic point. If there is something that is related to the mission of a company and they have to get involved in political issues related to the mission of a company, for example, if the state of Florida is going to come out with increasing a tax on, say, amusement park operators in the state of Florida, well, I would expect Disney to have lobbyists and have people talk about why it's bad for an increasing tax on amusement park operators in the state of Florida, because that will harm their business and harm their shareholders and maybe harm traffic to their parks. But when Disney, whose mission is to be the world's premier family entertainment company, gets involved in the parental rights bill in Florida that looked at outlaw sexual education for kindergartners through third graders, we'd say that has nothing to do with the mission of Disney. That's not good for Disney. It's not a good corporate decision. And I think if you take a look at what's happened to Disney since they got involved in that issue a year ago, it plays out. Their stock price is down almost 50% since they made that decision. And a big part of that is because their customer approval ratings dropped from 77% to 33%. They're losing millions of subscribers to Disney Plus. Theme park traffic is down, and that's what we take issue with, and that's what we don't think makes sense for companies to do, is veer outside of their lane and get involved in these controversial political issues when it doesn't further the interest of their companies.
Can you think of any exception where, for instance, it's a good idea for a company to take a stand on, let's say, an issue that actually could bring people together?
Well, I think that there are things that go back in the mission of a company. And I'll use an example of a company that actually has benefited, arguably, over the last 30 or 40 years by getting involved in politics. And that one is Ben & Jerry's. Ben & Jerry's is now one of the largest ice cream brands in the United States. but they play off this heritage of being founded by a couple of hippies in Vermont. And if you look at the mission statement of Ben and Jerry's, they're not trying to hide anything. It's very clear.
Yeah, they've been on the show.
Yeah, I mean, they say, like, we use ice cream to advance a progressive social mission. And therefore, when Ben and Jerry's advocates for defund the police initiatives, or this past July 4th, they advocated for the United States to give land back to indigenous people. That's authentic to who they are and authentic to their mission. And there's a, you know, minority of people in this country that want brands to get involved in every single social and political issue out there. And Ben and Jerry's, they might grab a large share of that small part of the population, and they've been successful in doing it. So for somebody like Ben and Jerry's, that has created shareholder value for that brand and that company. And if you might disagree with Ben and Jerry's, then you don't have to buy their ice cream. Buy something else. Buy Breyers, buy Haagen-Dazs. But there's other people in this country that do want companies like Ben and Jerry's to advocate for social causes. And so for companies like that, it's authentic to who they are. It's part of their mission statement. They're not trying to hide anything. And for companies like that, it can sometimes work to get involved in political issues.
Okay, and what about finally, and this is, another explosive issue, Pride Month. I mean, it's not Pride Week, it's Pride Month. And has that been a successful marketing tool? Has that helped the companies who, like Target, where the news was not particularly good, who go all the way to create special Pride lines of merchandise and special observance of Pride Month?
Yeah, so for companies like Target, my feeling is that they probably over-indexed on Pride Month. Pride Month is right in the middle of, you have Memorial Day, you have Father's Day, you have July 4th, and there's a lot of other holidays, and those holidays, consumers spend a lot more money on those than they do on Pride Month. And I think where Target got themselves in trouble is that they have over-indexed in terms of the merchandising and the selling. It almost seemed like they're promoting one family type over another right in the middle of some other key holidays. And that's what led to, it seems like, a lot of customers shopping elsewhere. Walmart, for example, they've benefited a lot from Target's fall over the last couple months.
Well, yes, congratulations to Walmart on escaping Pride Month. Not to say that they had to escape. Speaking to Anson Frericks, he is the co-founder of Strive Asset Management. His column in the Wall Street Journal deserves attention in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit Ka'anapaliResort.com. That's KaAnapaliResort.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.